The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot-button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Ahoy there, Podcast Beyond listener. It's me, Greg Miller, all alone in the Podcast Beyond recording room, and I have some horrible news for you. The podcast you're about to hear is a great episode. Well, Colin's kind of gross in the beginning, but then it gets to be a great episode. We talk about Little Big Planet Karting and a whole bunch of stuff. However, there is a horrible crackling throughout the whole thing. It's not that bad. It's just really annoying. We had known about this problem before. We had been told it was fixed, however, clearly not fixed. And then after we finished the podcast, I tried to put the song in, and GarageBand crashed. So there's been a number of problems. However, no way for me to fix the crackling audio you're about to hear now that it's been done. Cat's out of the bag kind of situation. So I'm sorry. I hope you understand. Please don't bother tweeting at us trying to alert us to the fact that there's crackling audio. We know. Hopefully this will be the only time you ever have to hear it. I guess enjoy the show. Beyond.
Users lose all sense of reality and enter another world. Remember, do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
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 What's up, everybody? Welcome to Podcast On, episode 265. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the pride of Long Island, Colin Moriarty.
Just in time.
Just in time.
Powerhouse.
Hello, sir.
Known as Ryan Clements.
I don't know.
Powerhouse. And making his triumphant return to the show after being gone for a fortnight, Andrew Goldfarb.
I'm sorry. There are earnings reports and stuff.
I'm okay with it, but the listeners were pretty mad. A lot of questions about where you were, why you abandoned them.
I'm back. I would never leave forever.
What have you been up to? What have you been doing?
They've trying to play every game.
Are you still eating the cheese? You don't tweet the photos of cheese at me all the time.
Yeah. Well, sure. Do you want to continue our back and forth?
No, I'll keep not doing really.
I ordered from them a week or so ago. It was good.
Good.
They kind of messed up my order, but it wasn't that big of a deal.
Did they ever instate the buffalo chicken pizza onto the menu?
Buffalo chicken
pizza. What is their problem?
I'm way more concerned about the new special crust. That stuff is amazing. I can't wait till I can order that.
What's the special crust?
It's like halfway between thick and thin.
Yeah.
Double zero?
They call it a double
That's
zero
still
crust.
Zero.
Crispy on the outside. Well, it's a double
when
zero.
When you time zero by zero, you get zero.
That's true.
And if you add zero and zero or minus zero and zero together, what happens when you divide zero by zero?
It's zero.
It says still null. Zero? It says null. When do you get null? I don't think you get
calculator.
Null. What? You get that part.
MS
DOS. Greg, what's wrong?
DOS.
Come on, have some fun.
I'm
We're
having
a good
fun.
Time.
You look good today.
Well,
you look good today.
I didn't shave. I didn't shave.
You got a lot of spirit today.
I woke up early. I had to get in, get my Little Big Planet Karting reviewed up, and wait and answer.
I comments. Heard that game's amazing.
It's a good Vita game. That's what we took away from the comments on Little Big Planet Karting reviewed today on IGN.
Man, it would have been so good on Vita, though.
Would it have?
Well, it would have been
it
so
been the same game,
but
exactly.
It would have been smaller on the Vita.
We'll get to that. We got that coming up. Let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news.
So, Greg, there are 11 items on the list this week, but I'm going to add a 12th item first.
Okay. The dozen.
Because I came back because I was just taking a poop,
yeah.
Right? And
yeah,
I love how open you are about it. That's
and I mean,
great.
And I didn't mean to. You know, I'm glad that I came back in time for the show, but I expected I'd miss a few minutes of it.
Is this going to be about the poop?
Yeah. So I'm not one to brag about my poop very often, but I knew when I went in there it was going to be something special. And what ended up happening was...
This seems like we're about to set a new low bar for Podcast Beyond.
It's like when you... let me just leave it like this, Greg. You know when you go to Safeway and you go to the meat aisle and they got those big, round kielbasa with the elbow in them and they're, a foot and a half or 2 feet long? Something like that just came out of my body.
Okay.
Wow. Was this related to the Wii U food truck, would you say?
Well, I don't think I digested that quickly, but that might have pushed what was in the colon out.
That makes sense.
As it were.
I can't decide if I want to leave this in the show.
How much of this are we going to cut?
Why would we cut any of it? What's the problem?
Welcome
to Poop Talk with Colin Moriarty.
It's our newest segment.
I just want to be clear that we've talked about hypothetical abortions, the death of Ryan Clements and his child, his unborn child.
No.
Both of those things would be way messier
than child. The child endures and has a healthy life, just unfortunately under the tyrannical rule of an unloving godfather.
What I just said about my poop is not even in the top 50 worst things that I've ever said on the podcast.
Welcome to IGN's PlayStation Podcast, the number one PlayStation podcast on the internet.
Number one. During THQ's quarterly earnings call, it was revealed that Metro Last Light, Company of Heroes 2, and South Park, The Stick of Truth, are all delayed and will be released sometime in the fiscal year 2014, which begins in April of 2013. THQ's Darksiders 2 also underperformed, and the company posted a loss for the quarter. As a result of its financial situation, its stock has fallen 48%.
That's bad.
In a single day. Its stock is now worth $1.57 a share as of recording.
Since that, it's actually gone even lower. It's now $1.54, which is over 49%. The poor THQ, man.
So
it was already bad for THQ.
I thought that this is can I describe your reaction when you were on that conference call?
Oh, totally. I talked to Alexander from Joystick, who's the news editor over there, and he said he had a very similar reaction.
Zelensky?
Yeah.
So I have the pleasure of sitting across the desk from Goldfarb, as it were, and so I get to often see his reactions to various calls and interviews that he's on, and he always has his headphones in, and it's amazing is that he'll write down whatever call it is on a pad of paper, so whenever inevitably someone comes to his desk to ask him something, he just holds up a pad of paper that says, like, earnings call, and they just walk away. But anyway, during this earnings call, he had his headphones in, and towards the end of the call, he just started laughing and took his headphones off in disbelief. I think before, was the call even over at that point?
No, it was over.
It was over.
And to be fair, I wasn't laughing at them.
It was at shock because what did they say right at the end?
So right at the end, they basically said that they have hired this brokerage firm that is evaluating the strategy for the future of the company, and that they have been advised not to report their earnings and not to do an investor Q&A, and they just abruptly ended their earnings call. Which...
And they canceled their Q&A right at the end.
So how much longer does THQ have?
I don't know. I mean, it's looking bad. By hiring a brokerage firm, you have to assume they're looking into options about privatizing or being sold or any number of things. They claim they have 10 games currently in development. They have Homefront 2. They have a Turtle Rock game that hasn't been announced. They have Saints Row 4.
Another
WWE. They have these three games that were just delayed. So, I mean, they do have things. Dark Millennium is no longer an MMO, but it's still in development. There's another Warhammer 40K game. They do have games in the pipeline, but at the same time, they canceled the Guillermo del Toro trilogy. They got rid of Devil's Third. They've been dropping titles. So, I don't know. I don't know where THQ goes from here.
Because this is one of those things, they've been limping on and on and on, but the news is never good.
Year. I mean, that rumor in January was that they had canceled all their 2014 titles, and then, they said, no, that's not true, and then every week after that there were massive layoffs and they've closed a bunch of studios and stuff, and
they still own really big studios. They still own Volition.
They own Volition.
I mean,
Relic,
that's a huge studio.
And that's their cash cow right now, right. Saints Row is the best thing they have going for them, so I think they need that.
They needed Darksiders to hit and it did not hit.
They talked about yesterday how Darksiders was below expectations, and
we all saw that,
and that's even with being number one in NPD that month.
It's August.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that they need Saints Row to come out. They need to survive until the next Saints Row comes out. Although, it did really well for them last year, and it's continuing to do well from their catalog. But now, looking forward, GTA 5 is spring 2013. That's a very bad sign for Saints Row.
I just want to know, I'd be very curious to just look back and see what the perfect storm of bad events were.
U-Draw was the major.
Was that the Vanguard?
It was two things. It was U-Draw and their reliance on licensed products with children's games.
Yep. And that's what they realigned, so they're not doing any licensed games or anything anymore. What they're working on now is all from their own IP.
Why was U-Draw such a colossal?
Because it was huge. It hit huge on Wii.
Yep.
And they're we'll bring this to PS3 and 360, and it will have the same success. So right out of the gate, we will make way too many U-Draw tablets.
They spent $100 million. They lost $100 million on U-Draw.
Okay,
tablets.
I see. I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow. That's sad.
I think they'll be fine. I think they'll be fine. To be perfectly honest with you, I think they're going to be just fine.
I think they just need one game to hit, and they'll bounce back. And
yeah,
if any.
Okay, so what's that going to be? What's it going to be?
I think the next Saints row. I mean, that's what I mean. Like, I think
that's a long time.
I think South Park is going to be a really big game too.
And their one wild card. I mean, Company of Heroes will do well enough, but that's a niche thing. I mean, it's among PC strategy players. I think Metro will do okay. I don't think that's going to sell super well.
I think they'll be fine. I think Homefront 2 is being developed by Crytek. So you assume that game is going to be bonkers. Yeah.
I just feel like we're talking too far in advance. You know, this isn't the story all year that THQ's in trouble and they're doing this, that, and the other. And this, you know, like how long?
I hope Crytek got paid in advance then.
Yeah.
If that's the case.
I mean, don't forget that so their stock now is at, you know, $1.54. Like,
when they have to worry about being delisted.
Exactly. Earlier this year, they were like at 90-something cents, or I think they were at 50-something cents. They're way below the minimum. And so they did a reverse split, which times everything, makes every share worth 10 times more, basically. And now they've already fallen back down to the $1 mark. Like, that's not good at all.
No. I think that, like, they'll, you know, a venture capital firm or someone will buy them. Or they start selling off their studios. Yeah.
Well, that's exactly – so they say that in the press release, that that's exactly what they're looking into. That's why they're talking to this Centerview Partners, I think they're called, that this company is specifically talking with them about, do you sell assets? Do you privatize? Do you, you know, look for investors? Like, I think they're definitely looking into all those possibilities.
I mean, I don't think investing in that company, you know, if you're a venture capitalist, is a bad move, considering who they own and the properties they own. You know, like, we forget even Homefront. Like, Homefront sold, like, 3.5 million copies. There's that's pretty good.
Yeah, you know, so 2010.
Yeah, but they own this. They own this title now that has cachet, in which they've closed their own studio down that developed it and made it in Chaos Studios in New York City, and then they gave it to Crytek. It's a pretty big deal, you know. I mean, like, I think that, like, Greg's right that a lot of these games are far out, but
far out, man.
But I think that they'll be. I really think THQ will be fun. I find it hard to believe that THQ just, like, ups and disappears, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, I think THQ will continue to be around. I just think they'll be a very different company than they've been previously.
Yeah, perhaps. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Number two. Square Enix has also had its quarterly earnings call, reporting sluggish sales. Its earnings amounted to $760 million, up 6.2% year on year. However, earnings fell short of expectations. So we'll see what's going on with Square Enix. I think Sleeping Dogs has something to do with that.
Yep. Yeah, they talk specifically about how console games were what didn't perform, and they didn't say Sleeping Dogs, but you assume they're assuming that. Did I say dogs? I meant dogs.
I don't know. I didn't hear
dogs. I didn't say dogs, but it's good that you brought
it up. Sleeping
Dogs.
Number three, Sony's quarterly earnings report is promising, though the company is still in the red. Sony sales amounted to $20.57 billion, a year-on-year increase of nearly 2%. However, the PlayStation brand is sputtering, partly due to the performance of PlayStation Vita. The PlayStation business as a whole showed a loss of 15.8% year-on-year in sales, like in units sold. And the company has lowered its fiscal year expectations for handheld sales from, I think, 12 to 10 million units, including the PSP. However, it still expects to sell nearly 200 million games over the course of the year across all platforms. So, sales for games are the same. Now, in analyzing, I have, like, a very in-depth piece about this on the site, so people can go to IGN and read it. But Sony, at this pace, will be in the black probably next quarter, if not the quarter after that. Because everyone has to remember, they lost billions of dollars, and then they got it down and basically, like, took a huge quarterly loss due to income tax rules and stuff like that. Brought it down to, like, $300 million, and now it's at, like, $100-something million. So, and now they're, you know, it sucks, but they're laying a bunch of people off and closing factories and selling assets and stuff like that. You assume that they're going to actually be profitable again.
Big
turnaround.
Same problem as Nintendo, which is that the conversion from yen to dollar is hurting them because the dollar is so weak that they're just losing millions of dollars that they would be getting if the dollar was stronger.
True. And things look a little more positive for them than they might have otherwise because all their insurance paid out
mm-hmm.
from the tsunami. So,
paid out.
Number four, more earnings calls. This time, Sega is up. It posted an operating loss of $9.7 million for the first half of its fiscal year, generating revenue of $445 million. Up 5.6 year-on-year. Sega's revenue is down 10%, however, and less than 33% of Sega's total revenue came from its games division. It sold only 2.7 million games during the first half of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're another one who said they were realigning their strategy earlier this year. They had a round of layoffs, and they said they're only focusing on, like, Sonic and Aliens, and they're trying to focus on core titles, basically.
Yeah. I saw Aliens. I haven't written about it yet, though. I will.
Sega, I guess, is the example, if you're THQ. I mean, Sega's been so close to getting out of the game for so long.
Yeah, yeah. Sega's. I'm surprised, like, because Sonic's, like, so irrelevant now and stuff. Like, I'm surprised Sega's actually stuck around.
I think
says sales. of Sonic games.
Except Mario and Sonic at the Olympics, which is huge.
Yeah, but that's on a huge platform. Put out like Sega, like the Sega, for instance, a really good example is Sonic the Hedgehog Episode 1 or whatever, 4, Episode 1, Episode, like, they would have kept going with those if those games were selling in the next
Sonic Racing is back this soon.
Dude, Sonic. Yeah, Sonic and All-Stars Racing is about to come out, and the Sonic Generations, I think, did okay. I think it did.
Is that the one that changes
yeah.
while you play it?
Yep.
It's a nice idea.
Dude, Sonic,
I haven't played a Sonic
game
in...
I'm just kidding.
Sonic Heroes was the last game I played of Sonic game. I wrote the guide for it.
No, I still, like I do have fun. I know there are not a lot of Sonic fans in our group, our little group here, but I have some fond memories of Sonic still.
Everybody has fond memories of Sonic. Yeah. When you try to play Sonic, you're like, wait a second.
That's the problem. Like, I thought I loved Sonic Adventure, and then I tried to go back and play it when it was ported to 360, and I was like, nope.
I'm just saying.
People definitely have fond memories of Sonic, but I've said time and time again.
Yeah, you never liked the originals either.
I liked them when I was a kid. I was like, okay, I don't really get them because I'm a Super Nintendo kid, and I don't really get these games. But going back and playing them as an adult, I'm just like, nope, can't do it. I'd rather play Super Mario World any day of the week.
Yep.
Yeah.
Still one of the best games ever. Mm-hmm. Number 5, Gran Turismo is the best-selling Sony-exclusive franchise. Website Gaming Vogue recently published Polyphony Digital's public sales numbers. The series has to date sold 67.8 million units and counting. Gran Turismo 3 A-Spec on PS2 is the best-selling game of the bunch, pushing nearly 15 million copies. PS2's Gran Turismo 4 is in second place with 11.6 million, and the original Gran Turismo sold 11 million. The most recent release, Gran Turismo 5 on PS3, sold just over 9 million units. That is a lot of games.
Yeah. Dude, and to put that in perspective, the entire Halo franchise has sold 45 million. And granted, that's been around, like, many years less, but still, like, that's...
Not many years. The original Halo came out in, what, 01?
2001 or 2, yeah.
So 2001, Gran Turismo came out in 1998.
Yeah.
So 1997, if you count Japan, so...
But that's huge, man. Those are gigantic numbers.
Yeah, it's outrageous. I was really surprised by that. I mean, it was that site Gaming Vogue found Polyphony's numbers. They're just on the internet, so obviously I cited them and went and looked at them myself, and I was astonished by how well. And that really puts it. We make fun of the Japanese developers, whatever, in Sony's stable, whatever. Really, Studio Japan, we make fun of. But Polyphony gets a lot of shit, especially because of their delays with Gran Turismo 5. You understand now why they're allowed to do whatever they want because their games sell.
Yeah.
You know, 9 million copies of Gran Turismo 5, I'm sure, is many times over profitable, even if they delayed it, and they did. Now Gran Turismo needs to come to Vita. That would be nice. Number 6. New PlayStation Plus perks are incoming. North American subscribers will get Resident Evil 5 Gold Edition for free. Portal 2 and its new DLC In Motion will be discounted 30% when Vikings attack. The new crossplay game will also be 30% off, and Absolute Supercars will be 20% off. European listeners will get Ratchet & Clank All for One, Cubix HD, and Crysis 2 for free.
Cubix HD.
Cubix was a cool game. PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
Quite the thing.
Still a good deal.
Yep.
You're reviewing When Vikings Attack.
I am.
What's the early read on that? You're waiting for the stored update today so you can play the Vita version.
I'm going to play the Vita version. I'll probably play it tonight. The review should go up tomorrow, I assume. The single-player campaign's cool. Like, we put up that commentary or whatever of us playing it and our PlayStation conversation about it, and the game's fun. It's very one-dimensional at the same time. Like, I played most of the campaign now, and it's just very one-dimensional. That's all.
Okay.
But it's very cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really meant to be played with friends.
Yeah.
But we'll see like what kind of legs it has. I'm not super sold on it yet.
Gotcha.
Number 7, strangely, Q Games' upcoming Pixel Junk game won't be on PS3 or Vita. It will be a PC exclusive. It's called Pixel Junk 1-6 or 1-6. I'm not sure how to say
it. Well,
that's
what they codename all their games.
No. Oh,
There'll be a real title for it.
Okay. And will be a 4-player co-op game released on Steam. It's currently under development and doesn't yet have a release date. Now, this is news to me in the sense that I thought Sony owned Pixel Junk. Not Q Games, but I thought that was a name they owned because they're all on PlayStation platforms. So that's interesting to me.
Yeah. I guess I never thought about it.
Well, they clearly don't own it.
Clearly.
Yeah. So... That's cool. It's confusing to me that you would put a game like that on another platform. It's the same thing with Bayonetta 2. Like, why do you... The people on certain platforms gave you the success, and then you move it to something else.
Or just make it multi-platform, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Sure. The Bayonetta thing, I think, was more confusing, but... Yeah. Because, like, Wii U is obviously going to be much less successful than, say, Steam.
Exactly. Like, PC is something where it's like it may have been easier for them to develop for, but yeah, the Bayonetta Wii U thing is obviously... That was a case of Nintendo ponying up money to publish it that maybe Sony wouldn't or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, you assume Pixel Junk games were... I mean, especially the early ones were very successful. And you have to assume that maybe they got stung by Pixel Junk 4 AM, which I have no idea why anyone developed that game.
Well, yeah, it's one of those things. I think as they've gone on, right, they've lost relevancy.
It's weird because they had these great games,
Shooter
like,
and Encore and everything,
and Eden and all these games, and then Pixel Junk 4 AM. It's like, what the hell?
Well,
is
even
this?
Eden, I thought was one that like it found critical success, but I don't know how many people actually played.
Yeah, I mean, 4 a.m., dude, I feel like no one played that game. Like, I feel like that game...
Well, it was a PlayStation Move deal.
Right, I bet you... All right. We think about relative sales on PlayStation Network that are probably not always the highest, but I'm saying, like, Pixel Junk 4 a.m. sold 20,000 copies, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Just think about it. Just think, you have to have a move. The game's, like, super abstract. I mean, we played it a bunch of times. I still had, like, no idea what I was doing.
Well, it's what we always talk about, you know, cutting the pie down, right? So we're starting with, all right, we have everybody who owns a PlayStation. Now it's every PlayStation 3 that's connected to the internet. Now it's every PlayStation 3 that's connected to the internet that has Move and thinks that this sounds interesting. Every PlayStation 3 connected to the internet that has Move that thinks this music game is cool.
Yeah, music. Music game. Way too late. It's the same thing. I had a conversation, similar conversation with the developers of Until Dawn, because that game looks really, really, really cool. And when we were at Comic-Con, Ryan and I went and saw a bunch of games, and I was talking to, you know, to the guys at Supermassive, and I was like, that game looks dope. There's like no doubt about that, that game looks really promising. It's very Heavy Rain-like with its deviating paths and choices and endings and stuff like that. But I was like, are you going to put this on a DualShock controller? And they said that they were looking into it and that, you know, they're not quite able to make it work yet.
Sure.
There wasn't designed around that, but that's the kind of the point I'm pressing. Like, no one owns PlayStation Move. Like, your game is I didn't say this implicitly, but the game's going to fail. You know?
Yeah.
Like, you have to... It's like the Tora. Like, the Tora, I'm sure, wasn't like a huge hit, but at least you can play it with a DualShock controller, too.
I like the unfinished Swan. You can do the same.
Yeah.
You can control either way.
Make it an option if you want. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't know. Number 8. 38 Studios has been sued by the state of Rhode Island's Economic Development Corporation. The developer behind Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning borrowed $75 million from the state, which it has not paid back. Kurt Schilling and others are individually named in the lawsuit. And I think all their assets were sold for under $1 million at auction.
That's not counting IP, though. But yeah, all of their actual like assets, including like development stuff and office chairs and everything that was at the 38 Studios and big huge offices sold for $830,000.
This has clearly become a political football, which is like really disappointing. I mean, companies, and first of all, the government shouldn't be in the business, I don't think, of giving any private corporations money, but $75 million, even at a state level, is not a lot of money. And there are companies that have lost hundreds of millions of dollars at the national level, lots of them.
Yeah, I mean, that statement...
no one even, like, cares about. It's a shame, man. Kurt Schilling, like, I feel bad. Like, I feel bad for Kurt Schilling.
Yeah, no, I totally do, too. I mean, at the same time, this was one of the first times where I've read a statement from Lincoln Chafee that made sense to me, because he's saying, like, the only reason they're doing this is to try and prevent the taxpayers from having to shoulder that amount of money.
Yeah, but now their taxpayers are going to pay for their lawyers, and this is going to be stretched out for years. This isn't going to be solved. It's just a waste of time. Like, just let them go. I mean, I think that, like, just let this go is, I think, the best. You know, you own the IP, sell it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That Kingdoms of Amalur has to be worth millions of dollars, if not tens of millions of dollars. To someone,
yeah.
You know?
You would, I mean, especially because we've heard in the past that number one EA is interested in doing a sequel, but even Take Two at one point almost financed a sequel. So, yeah, I assume you'll see that IP sold pretty quick.
Yeah, just sell it and drop the fucking lawsuit. And
yeah,
as much I'm a Yankee fan, I don't like Kurt Schilling. The bloody sock thing like really got to me and all that kind of stuff. But as a person, as a human being, as like a dude who tried to make an investment, a dude who loves something, he took a risk and that sucks and he lost. But like, it really humanizes Kurt Schilling in the sense that like he lost everything. Like this man had tens of millions of dollars and he lost everything, you know? And it's like really, he has a family and stuff like that. It's, you know, even as a Yankee fan who remembers that Kurt Schilling bloody sock a little too well.
You want to explain the bloody sock to Clements?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I can explain it.
I would like to hear it unless it's not.
The Yankees and the Red Sox for several years. I mean, the Yankees and Red Sox have been rivals for a long time. But there
that part I knew.
There were several years in the postseason where the Yankees and the Red Sox were playing each other, and the bloody sock comes from 2004. In 2004, in the ALCS, the American League Championship Series, which was the second round of the playoffs, the Yankees and the Red Sox played in the best of seven series, and the Yankees were up 3-0 in that series. No team has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit to win the series 4-3. The Red Sox did, and then they end up winning the World Series for the first time since 1918. But one of the famous moments from that was when Kurt Schilling was pitching, and he had like an ankle injury, and his sock was like gushing, like it was like bloody, it was all gross and like bloody, and he kept pitching, like with this like bloody bright red sock, basically, and it just became like a symbol of that whole demise of the Yankees.
The Baseball Hall of Fame, I think.
Yeah.
And Kurt Schilling was for which team?
The Red Sox.
Red Sox.
He was a famous pitcher for the Phillies, actually, for a very long time, and in his older years, he came to the Red Sox. Number 9. The Mass Effect trilogy has a release date on PlayStation 3. Look for it on December 4th in North America and December 7th in Europe. The original Mass Effect will come with some, but not all, of the DLC on PS3, and the original game will be available for download individually on the PlayStation Network, and I will be reviewing it. So keep an eye out for that. I love the original Mass Effect. So,
yeah, and then you will have reviewed each game.
That's correct.
2, 3, 1.
Yeah, in that order. Yep. Number 10. Take-Two Interactive has revealed that it has shipped 5 million copies of Borderlands 2, though how many it has been sold to consumers remains to be seen. Nonetheless, that makes it an official commercial smash hit. So
damn,
congratulations
right
to them.
Great game, right?
So
Goldfarb?
So good, yep.
Yeah, yeah.
I played that game a ton.
I've probably played 3 times as much as you. Shut up.
Yeah!
Oh, yeah. How much have you played it, Greg?
I don't know.
Did you beat
how
it
many
yet
hours?
I've beaten it. I don't know. No, where do I check my... I don't.
You have to do it
probably on the
cross
media bar
when you pick a character. Yeah, it's really it's cumbersome.
I was going to try and
what's
rub
your
it
level
in your face, but no, I'm probably way behind you.
Yeah, then get the fuck out of here.
I haven't even played it yet. It's just sitting on it's sitting in the shrink.
I mean,
I've
played
so
it for like 40 or 50 hours. It just I'm still just grinding through side quests.
Word.
Whenever Clements and I talk about it, we always say how even just talking about that game, like, I want to be playing it.
Yeah, you want to go play it some more. Yeah, no, I
so
feel
good
the same way.
I'll get to it over Christmas break. There's just no time.
Could we play together? I'll roll
yeah
in character.
Maybe.
But yeah, I can jump into your game and just kill everything for you.
Yeah, you can roll a new character, too. No. We have new characters.
It's true. Number 11. This is the biggest story on the list, but I left it for last.
Oh.
PlayStation 4 dev kits are apparently in the wild. A new version of the dev kit was apparently delivered to developers, according to VG247, with final hardware being shipped to devs next year. PS4 is currently housed in PC shells and is going by the codename of Orbis. Sony has never apparently referred to it as PS4, only Orbis. The system itself is rumored to be on schedule to be announced right before E3 of 2013.
Whoa, that's exciting. Look at that.
Yeah, that's soon.
It's coming around the mountain, as they say.
They
do
say that?
Do they not say
that? No, they say that. Okay. They say
there's
it
a whole song
song
about it, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
There was an old folk song about coming around the mountain.
Orbis coming around the mountain.
I don't think it'll be called Orbis, but no, that's clearly the code name. The fact that they're not calling it PS4 is pretty indicative of the fact that it's not called PlayStation 4.
It'll be called NGC for Next Generation Console.
Maybe they don't know what the name
God
of it is yet.
Well,
I hate you.
What was... Did PS3 have a code name? Did PS2 have a code name?
Dolphin.
I'm sure they did. I don't know.
I think
I
the
know
fact that they're
one
not calling it PlayStation 4 means that it could easily be called PlayStation 4.
Wait, was Dolphin GameCube or Wii?
Dolphin was
GameCube.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
yeah,
Dolphin Cove. Dolphin Cove.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Wii was Revolution. Yeah.
Katana was the Super Nintendo.
Katana is a ramen place
yeah
you like.
Yes, that is not the code name.
Star Cube, Ultra 64.
Man, there
are
some great code names. What was the Project Natal was Kinect,
yeah,
and Project Cafe was
NGP.
Wii. NGP for Vita. Yeah.
God.
PSP2 for PSP.
I'll never forget when I was in Japan for that press conference for you guys, and they were like announcing the NGP, and I was like writing. I was like, is that its name? I don't understand. Is that the name of the console or portable? It's not even a console.
I think.
Man, good thing I got it right back then.
I think Orbis might be the final name, but I don't, because Orbis is what, Latin for circle or world, globe?
Yeah.
Something
and
like
Vita
that
means
and
life.
Vita is life.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
I don't think so.
No?
The circle of life.
Orbis isn't very catchy
by Elton John.
I think it would be cool if they just called it PlayStation.
Yeah,
yeah, like rebrand it. I reboot it, rather. Yeah, I think that would be awesome.
So that's it. That's exciting. Yeah. This, of course, brings me back to my rumor, or my, not my rumor, it is a rumor because I'm starting it, but my theory that the new Metal Gear game is running on PS4. Because everyone's like, it's played on an Xbox controller on a PC, and I'm like, oh, is that right? Because the controller's not ready yet, and PS4 is still running on a PC shell.
So there you go.
Check and mate. So there you go, Goldfarb. That's it.
Colin, Metal Gear is going to be quite the exciting game that I can't wait to play, but it's not in stores right now. If I wanted to go somewhere to find out what games are in the stores right now, where would I go?
Man, that's complicated.
I'm getting back to our roots.
The official list of
upcoming
PlayStation software on all three platforms by the IGN editor. Before I read...
In stereo.
Yeah, that was hot. It's Dolby Surround. before I get into it, what is the over-under? Greg and I already talked about this briefly on our own, but that the PlayStation 4 Orbis uses the same controller.
Just DualShock 3?
Like, well, not DualShock 3, but it'll be like a DualShock shell.
Oh, yeah, I think it still will.
I have, there's a steak dinner bet with Game Informer's Jim Riley writing on this that I believe the PlayStation 4/Orbis controller will, and the bet is, it's confusing, right? It's going to, I'm saying it will be basically the same. There's going to be some kind of variation to it.
Yeah.
Jim says it'll be completely different.
So I think you're both going to be right, though. I don't think we're to the point now where systems have one controller anymore. I think it will ship with a DualShock 4, if that's what you mean, but I think you're going to be able to use a Vita as a controller. I think you're probably going to have some evolution
okay
of the PlayStation Move.
That's
like, there are going to be multiple controllers for it.
Man, another PlayStation Move. You guys pumped for that? PlayStation Move 2.
They got to stop with that shit, don't they?
Yep.
Nope, we're not on the Roper Report anymore. Now we're on the...
now we're on to the games.
We're moving on. We're moving on.
Stores.
Still thinking about that Kielbasi poop.
Ah, jeez.
remember, the president of Sony Worldwide
Entertainment. We're not going to cut it. He made a good point that it's not in the top 50 worst things.
I'm not saying it's not in the top 50. I'm saying it's not even in the same hemisphere as the top 50
this
worst
things. This is the show where we got wasted on that one time. So
we need to do that again, by the way.
Another Drunken Podcast time. Beyond?
Yeah. All right. That'd be fun.
All right, coming to PS3 retail, Little Big Planet Karting.
Yeah.
Also available on PSN. Greg, take it away.
5.0. No, here's the thing. You have 10 minutes before you have an interview.
Oh, shit.
So you should roll through this, and we can. I will talk about Little Big Planet Karting when you're
cool. Little Big Planet Karting, NASCAR the Game Inside Line.
Ooh, okay.
PSN. Well, to Vita and PSN, when Vikings attack. Cross-play, mm-hmm. cross-buy, cross-whatever. On PSN, Vanquish.
Oh, yeah.
It's only $20. You got to buy that shit all day and all night. Portal 2.
And you're playing
Absolute Supercars, PID, which is very good.
What did you give PID?
7.8.
You should run the, when you're done with the interview, run that through the blog roll again.
Okay. Toe Jam and Earl. Toe Jam and Earl in Panic on Funkotron. So two Toe Jam and Earl games.
Funkotron.
There's one other PS3 game out today, the Rockstar Games Collection.
Oh, that wasn't on the drop.
Yeah, which is what is
GTA
it?
GTA 4.
It's the GTA 4 DLC.
L.A. Noir.
And L.A. Noir and Midnight Club L.A. Complete Edition.
Oh, is that Red Dead?
Oh, and Red Dead.
Yeah.
Wow.
PS Mini, Enchanted Cavern. PS2 Classic that my sister was quite fond of back in the day. Rygar the Legendary Adventure. And on that note, I'm going to go talk about games.
Bye, Colin.
Miss you.
Do you want to move to the good mic?
Should I move to the good
mic?
Yeah,
you should move. All right,
I'll
move. All right, we're going to mute 4 then because we don't need 4 anymore. No more 4.
Bye, Colin.
The chair is warm.
Like, really warm. I wonder why.
All right, so we'll talk about Toe.
Yeah.
Toe. No, I can see you even better from over here.
Oh, that's good.
I feel really far away now.
You can scoot over.
Yeah, come sit here. Let's just sit really weirdly close together.
I put up a review today, Goldfarb.
Uh-huh.
Little Big Planet Karting.
Okay.
I gave it a 5.0. Mediocre on the IGN scale. I'm calling it a mediocre game.
Can you elaborate? Why do you feel that way?
It's not a good kart racing game. It's not that much fun. It's the most frustrating kart racing game I've played in quite some time. The items don't work the way they're supposed to. The levels seem kind of barren.
So what makes it not bad then?
I think its basic level, the karting mechanics are tight. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things, like, if you stripped everything away from it and you're just looking at how it controls and handles and stuff, it's fine. Load times are good. It's got a story to go through that's cute or whatever. You know, I think the setup's wrong and it's not like a Media Molecule game or whatever.
I'm picturing the back of the box quote where it's like, the story is cute or
whatever.
Yeah. IGN.
Well, that's the whole thing. Like, somebody talked about it in the review. Like, you know, we stay around and we answer review comments. One of the comments today was like, I read the review and I'm fine with it, Greg, but it read more like a 7 to me. And I was like, I say nothing positive because that the score didn't start at a 7. I put a different score on it because I had been talking about it earlier, and Colin read it and was like, this is not this. And like, we went, you know, I had Steve read it and we went over and we talked more about it and we came to a 5.0. So it's one of those things, like, there's not much positive in the review. Yeah, but it's not a bad game. It's not a broken game. It's not like, you know, it's not Lair. It's not like when I couldn't play Lair. And I was
it's
like,
not Naughty Bear.
Yeah, it's not Naughty Bear. It's not these things.
I mean, it's funny because a couple of people tweeted at me this morning. They were like, oh, like, your previews were all so positive. Like, how did it end up not being good?
Yeah.
And I think we've talked about this before, but it's like when we see a game for preview, like, we maybe have a few minutes with it to try one track. And I think, like, if someone sat you down in front of that game for one race and you were a big Little Big Planet fan, like, it has a lot of really good ideas, and I think it had the potential to be something really good. But I think
it's one of the things that is in, like, for me, like, if you look back, like, the previews we've done before, like, I did the E3 interview and I was super excited about it when we were watching and playing it, and I did a video preview like a month ago based on a preview build they sent us, and it was the first time I was like, whoa, something, I'm worried about this game for the first time because of X, Y, and Z. But my hope was that these were early levels that they'd be able to fix. This was an early build. Like, the biggest thing for me, right, is that you're playing the game and you pick up these different items, and there's two that stand out for this example being the boxing glove, where you get in it, you hit the button, you turn into a giant boxing glove, and you fly down the track.
It's like Bullet Bill from Mario Kart.
Exactly. You hit anybody, you knock them off. And then the other one is just a fast-forward button where it just does the fast-forward thing on your screen and it throws you ahead. Both of those, like, so here's how Little Big Planet Karting works. when you get items, you can hold on to them, and then if somebody shoots something at you, you can then hold the button and press back to drop it behind you. It just destroy their weapon so it doesn't have you. So you should be holding on to weapons to be defensive, because you are getting fucked all the time in this game. Left and right, you're getting fucked in this game.
Whoa. Sounds like my Saturday night.
Sackboy got way more mature this time around.
It's one of those things, like, this is, you know, like, I'm a huge kart racing fan. Totally a kart racing nerd, and it's one of those things I've, like, whenever I reviewed or play, you know, I play Mario Kart 7, I knew that there'd be cheap hits. When I reviewed Mod Nation Racers, I knew there'd be cheap hits. But, like, this one is totally just, like, outrageously screwing you over. And the example is, again, boxing glove and fast forward. So you get these items. You use these items. They, many a time, will throw you ahead, and then when you take back control, you're going into a head-on collision with something that instantly kills you. So you instantly die using something that's meant to help you, so you're already far, you know, you got no net gain as far as places usually. You come back, and when you respawn, you're invulnerable for a few seconds. As soon as the invulnerability wears off, someone is shooting you with a missile, and you just used your item so you no longer have an item to defend yourself. You're again hit. You're down to last place. And this happened again and again and again, and I talk about it in the video preview I did about it a month ago with an incomplete build, and then in the review it happens left and right. And for me, that was it. That was like the thing of just like, holy fuck, like this is so frustrating. And then one of the things that I talk about in the review then is the fact that this goes back to, I think, that Mod Nation Racers had it right. Mod Nation Racers had all the right mechanics. And for people who look at the game and just like, oh, it's Sackboy. It's Mod Nation Racers with Sackboy clothes. It isn't. They took out some of the best parts of Mod Nation Racers. First and foremost being the strategy of Mod Nation Racers, where if you were playing, you were building this little meter on the side that you could use for boost or you could use to shield yourself anytime you wanted to. So it didn't matter if you had items. You were picking up items, but they weren't related to the boosting or the shielding. And so, you know, that obviously if I could shield myself, it would do away with these cheap deaths I'm getting right there. I forget where I was going with this beforehand. But there was some basically just in general that they'd screwed it up by taking that out and really fucking it over.
For me, the thing reading a review that made me the saddest was when you talk about the creation tools and how they just – that's such a missed opportunity that there's no auto-populate. So it's like – very few people are going to take the time to make awesome tracks, and that's what makes Little Big Planet Little Big Planet, you know, like having the community get a hold of it and make these amazing levels and stuff.
And that's one of those things, people are still going to make amazing creations with this. A lot of people, like, you know, people don't read the review, obviously they jump to the score and they're like, whoa, what do you do this? And I do call it that, you know, creation, I put it as a plus, the creation potential here. People are going to get this game and totally be making amazing, amazing stuff, but I don't see them, as many people making it as Little Big Planet, nor do I see a community springing up the way it is elsewhere, because, like, it's one of those things, when you play Little Big Planet, right, and you're going through the pop-up menu in creation mode, even if you're a numbskull like me and you don't know exactly what this tool does, or you kind of have an idea for what you want to do, you can hit, correct me if I'm wrong, triangle on the item, it brings up the little menu, and then you can go to a tutorial right there. So if you get to a little thing and you don't know what it is, you can do that. That's not in the Little Big Planet karting menu. Instead, there's just static tutorials on the outside that are all video, not even, like, create to do it yourself. So you don't, like, you know, Little Big Planet's very big on, here's how we make something that moves. Now you do it before you get out of here. And so that isn't there. You just watch a video, long videos that cover multiple topics that don't necessarily hit on what you need at that exact moment. And so then it's the Mod Nation Racers create tool shoved into the Pop-It. Like, they have their own section on the Pop-It. So it's everything else about Little Big Planet, where you can start wrapping your head around, you know, building backgrounds and putting stickers on them, going in corner editing tools to do this. And then you jump into the Mod Nation Racers thing, where, yeah, again, you can drive. It's weird mix, right, of being super simple and then super complex, and there's no middle ground. You use the Mod Nation Racers track tool to create your track, and you drive, you drive your cart to lay the pavement, and you can dip up and down and change the terrain, no problem. You can even do the auto-complete thing where you zoom and it completes the track for you. But, yeah, then there's no auto-populate. For me, that was the thing, like, when I was doing the tracks, right, is that even in Mod Nation Racers, I was never a big fan of, like, I want to place all the trees here, and I want to do this, right, that, and the other. I just hit the auto-populate button, made a cool track, I thought, and shared it with my friends, and, like, that doesn't happen here. Now you lay the track, and you have to go in there and individually put down everything you want and try to lay the stuff out, which is going to appeal to people who want to get super hands-on with it and want to really have that crafting every part of their level. But it's just,
what's the point if it doesn't really play that well, though?
Well, and that's the exact question. I mean, like, what is, like, Sony's strategy is so weird on this. I mean, we just talked about game sales and stuff. Like, I cannot imagine this game performing. And it's like, it's this weird thing where, like, a month ago, 2 months ago, we got, like, an amazing Little Big Planet game. Yeah. And, like, then this one comes out 2 months later, and it's so disappointing. Like, what is the incentive for even a Little Big Planet fan to jump onto this? Like, it's just really weird.
I mean, it's one of those things that I think sucks, because when they announced it, I was like, I was confused at first because we didn't know what was happening. And then I was like, oh, this is Mod Nation Racers. People was like, okay, fine, that's great. Like, I loved Mod Nation Racers. You know, I gave it a 9 on IGN and thought it was so good. And I was all about it. Yeah, if you can take that engine and put Sackboy in it, and because Sackboy is so popular with kids, you know, put it in there and get more people to reach out and adopt it to be perfect. But they did all these things. They made all these tweaks that just took away from what karting was, why karting was such a good karting game, and then in the same respect, all these tweaks that make it not a Little Big Planet game. You know what I mean? That just make it, it's in this weird in-between is what I say.
Yeah. Did you have a chance to do any of the costume stuff yet? Just to see if any of the costumes carry over, or is that not
no,
live yet?
No, I didn't bother fooling around with it. But yeah, if you have costumes in the other one, you can download that. But this, yeah, Jim Sterling over on Destructoid put up the trailer today and said that, you know, his review isn't live because the servers aren't live yet and he couldn't test stuff. I tested servers during the test mode with developers and everything else, and seeing as how none of my complaints were this doesn't run well or this doesn't do anything, there was no real reason to sit there and worry about that kind of stuff. My thing is, the game isn't fun to play. This has bigger problems than if it's got this, that, and the other online.
Yep.
Because that's the other thing, too. Like, Mod Nation Racers, I felt the Mod Nation Racers, when it came out, I felt, did what Mario Kart couldn't, right? Is that it offered an online experience, and it gave you this online level to chase, and you're trying to level up, and you're trying to do all this crap, and trying to do all these cool things. And there's none of that in Little Big Planet Karting. Little Big Planet Karting feels like a single-player game, and you have to jump into these weird versus levels, and then hope people are playing that. There's no, like, there's a, you know, jump, there's a button to just jump into community levels, but I don't ever do that in Little Big Planet, because those are, you know, they're usually broken or something, right? So you want to go and find the best ones. And so then you got to try to find this. There's no easy, like, there's no, hey, go play versus, hey, go play online, hey, you know, go do this. And
even in your video review, you show, like, how complicated the planets get when, like, all of those subsections open
up.
Yeah,
and, like, that's so not Little Big Planet. You're a huge Little Big Planet fan, and that's what I'm talking about, is, like, there's little things that make it feel distinctly not like a Little Big Planet game.
Yep.
It looks at first glance like a Little Big Planet game, sure, and then you start fooling around with it. You're like, wait, this doesn't feel right. Something's wrong about it.
Yeah, that's really a shame.
Yeah.
Man, like, especially Sony kart racing fans, it's just, like, it hasn't been a good road because Mod Nation Racers was so good, and then the Vita version doesn't have online play, and then now this comes out and it's disappointing. Like, just need another good kart racer.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially on Vita.
Mirage writes into beyond@ign.com, just like you can, to be part of the show. He says beyond.
Beyond.
I was just had a question towards Greg's review of Little Big Planet Karting. Why did you compare it to Mod Nation Racers so often? I just felt like the game should have been critiqued on its own rather than compared to another over and over. Still, love the review. Keep up the great work. Hey, Mirage. No, it's a valid question. When I did my first draft of the VO for the video review and then, obviously, the written review, I sent it to Steve Butts,
Manager.
And Colin, and my thing was to them, what am I calling out these games too much? Like, I know I'm saying Mod Nation Racers and Little Big Planet over and over again. The argument was that, first off, if it was any kart racer, I'd be comparing it to Mod Nation Racers, because Mod Nation Racers is the best kart racer on PS3, so that's the bar, that's the standard, right? Like, we always talk about how we don't review in a vacuum, and this is also the argument, you know, like, when I give SmartAz an 8.5, or whatever, and on the same day I gave Assassin's Creed Liberation 7.2, and they're like, oh, this is a better game. And they're not the same game, whereas this is the same genre. This is what it's being compared to. This is what you're looking for. Now, taking away from that the fact that this is a very interesting situation, right? Like, there's these developers who made Mod Nation Racers and then are being asked to make a Little Big Planet game, so you have to talk about what's going on there as far as how that is. Standing alone, if I take out Mod Nation Racers from every reference in there, that's fine. The complaints will still be there, right? Like, the weapons don't work. It's silly that there's no strategy other than holding on to things when I'm getting fucked over here left and right. The creation tool... Like, and that's the other thing, too. The creation... Like, I'm not like using hyperbole when I'm like, oh, they took the Mod Nation Nations creation suite and shoved it into the pop-up menu. That's literally what they did. When you jump in there, the tools and the setup and the way it looks is all the same. You're immediately at home if you play those other games. So I don't think there's, you know, they have to be referenced. If I'm not, now here's the flip side of that coin, right? Is that, like, I was, not only did I review Mod Nation Racers, I was a huge fan of it. It's one of two games at IGN I've taken the day off to play on launch day because I wanted to play with everybody and be part of the community. And so I personally then, as a reader, when I was looking through Metacritic today, because if you're not paying attention to this, ladies and gentlemen, currently I am the lowest score with a 5.0. The next one above me, at least when Beyond is being recorded at the time, there's some 7.0s. I think GameSpot gave it a 7.0, and somebody else, EGM gave it a 7.0. And then we start getting up, then the scores start going really, really high. Games Radar, I want to say 8, and then PlayStation Nation was a 9, or an A-, if
yeah, whatever. PlayStation Universe was 9, I think.
Yeah. So there's plenty of people who really dig it. When I was on the Metacritic thing trying to see where we were wrong or stuff, there was plenty of people saying in their little blurbs about how, you know, oh yeah, the Mod Nation Masters experience has been brought over and, you know, put into the in the Little Big Planet universe. And I'm personally, then, as somebody who is a level 30 racer on Mod Nation Racers and bought all the DLC and will still play that game to this day, I was like, no, it is not. Like, these are not... These kart racers...
No, sir.
It's true, right? Like, I mean, that for me is them outing themselves as somebody who didn't play a lot of Mod Nation Racers, because this is such a step backward for all the mechanics of Mod Nation Racers. The big thing for me is, I went back and read my old previews for Mod Nation Racers, was that when Mod Nation Racers were coming up and I was doing all this coverage on it, United Front Games made a big deal about, like, we don't have a blue shell in this game. There's no blue shell in this game. You're going to level up your weapons. They're going to get more powerful. You'll always be able to try to block stuff, though. You're always going to have a shot. You're not going to be cheaped out. And Little Big Planet Karting has a blue shell. It has a rocket that, when it pops up, it's a little rocket with a number one on it, and you fire it, and it only goes after the first place person.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is just a step back for everything they were doing. Now, granted, I say all this, and Mod Nation Racers was not a juggernaut game. I reviewed it higher than most people because of the load times and everything else. So I understand that, I'm sure, United Front Games, the creators, has to say, we made this awesome game, but nobody picked it up, so what do we need to change? What do we need to do? I think all they needed to do was put Sackboy in it. I think they really should have just Mod Nation Racered it and reskinned as Little Big Planet, but they went and did some other tweaks, I think, trying to make it more accessible maybe to people, like, you know, little kids or whatever who are into that, but it lost the flavor that was.
Yeah, that's a shame. I think it's also, just to answer his question too, like, you know, obviously if you're reviewing PlayStation All-Stars or whatever, you're going to naturally compare it to Smash Brothers and stuff like that comes up.
Yeah.
But in this case, it's like, even more than that, it's by the same developer as Mod Nation Racers. So, like, of course you're going to be comparing it to that game a lot.
Yeah.
So I think that's totally fair.
Yeah. And it's one of those things, there's other reviews out there, and, you know, that's the whole point. Like, I kept saying that in comments, you know, when somebody would show up and they'd be butthurt about it and be like, oh my God, I can't believe you don't know what you're talking about. All right, great. You have my opinion now. Go compare it to your other favorite site and see, you know, but that's up to you, man. Like, people were saying, like, oh man, this sucks. I loved the beta. Now I know I'll pick it up. I'm like, well, no, if you love the beta, then go try it out. Like, I'm telling you what annoyed me about it, but if you didn't have those problems, or if, you know, maybe, you know, if you saw the same things I was talking about and you were like, I don't have a problem with that, then fine, go play it. It'd be great. You know, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Forget about it.
Fernet about it. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
I drink Fernet.
How you doing, Goldie?
All right. Good. Oh, hey, I should say a quick birthday hit of the week here.
Is it a hit of the week or a shout-out?
I think it's just a shout-out. It's a birthday shout-out. All
right. Yeah, birthday shout-out.
I'm trying to combine two segments at once. Stephanie Birdo, happy birthday.
Is she related to Birdo from the Mario Brothers games?
I believe she is.
Oh, wow.
I don't think she can spit eggs out of her mouth, though.
I don't know. I haven't met her.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, it's Stephanie Birdo, when you come to San Francisco, come to the IGN office in 625 2nd Street, 3rd floor, San Francisco, California.
Plenty of eggs for you to try.
94107. Show Goldfarb if you can spit eggs. Come to a First Friday or an up at noon taping. Go.com/IGN. No, go.com.
No, go.IGN.com.
Go.IGN.com/ up at noon for details. I'm tired. I should have.
And I think it's j.mp/1stfridays with a Z.
Oh, no. First Fridays, just Google IGN First Fridays. Yeah. The first hit is the
Facebook. Stack one.
Yeah, the first hit will be the Facebook images from a First Friday. You click on that, and there's a link right there to go sign up. First Fridays are the tour of IGN's office. You should all do that.
Happy birthday, Steph.
John writes into Beyond.
Hi, John.
At IGN.com.
Hey, John.
He says, straight to the point. You misspelled straight, but no big deal. What are your thoughts on the new PSN store format?
Oh.
I don't hate it as much as everybody else seems to.
I like the visual of it,
yeah.
But I do feel it is a little bit slower here.
Yeah,
and there.
It absolutely is slower, yes.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll work those kinks out as they get going.
I don't think it breaks the experience or anything. But yeah, I mean, it's like, I always have this problem with, you know, the dashboard updates on 360 and stuff. Like, it's hard when somebody completely overhauls the UI and you have to get used to it.
Yeah.
But I think, like,
there's all those little things we won't even know about for a while.
Exactly.
I would like to point out, I'm all for change. I am not the kind of person that says, like, don't ever change the thing that I like because you'll never make it better, because it's always possible to make something better. I just really don't think there was any step in the right direction for this one in terms of its performance and its look. I really did like the color palette, and then the way like sure. icons were laid out in the old store. I just thought it looked good. I just don't think this is the right.
I do think like if I brought my friend over and he had never used the PSN store, he didn't get it. Like he didn't understand like how do I search for something? You have to go up and click the magnifying glass or whatever. Like
there
was
plenty of people
things...
who did that. I think what you're seeing here is the fact that the majority of people were like that. I think it's one of those things we always talk about with. When we want to argue, you know, XMB versus Blades or whatever on Xbox, it's always whatever you're using is what sure. what makes the most sense. And that's why, like, when me and Brian and Altano and I were talking about, you know, when we turn on the 360, we have no fucking idea what's happening anymore. Yeah. It's like, where is anything? How do I find my games? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
With that said, I'm just talking not from a functionality perspective, but from an aesthetic perspective. Functionality, I actually haven't played around with it enough to know if it's like, superior or not. But, yeah.
It's a little busy aesthetically, I would say, the new one.
I think they're trying to chase that, you know, Hulu, Amazon Prime.
Yeah, they are.
It's very visual, very...
Lots of big graphics.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I can get on that. Yep. More power to them. We'll hope they have a shot.
Yeah, now, I mean, I think they'll refine it. I think it'll get better, and I think we'll all get used to it. I don't, like, hate it as much as some people seem to, but I don't like it so far. I guess I'll say.
This one I don't want to read, because I feel like this tampers the results.
Want me to read it?
No, no. Oh, I feel like by acknowledging this... It lights a fire under someone's butt at this table to then go out and do what the thing says.
Oh.
And I think that in real life it would never happen.
Okay.
But I'll read it all the same.
Okay.
Jonathan writes in the
sure?
Beyond that
it's your last chance to pull out.
He says Beyond.
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 I always pull out too late. Hey, guys. I was listening to an older episode of Podcast Beyond last week, and earlier this year, Greg and Powerhouse bet a pizza that Ryan won't play more than 5 hours of Assassin's Creed 3. I was just wondering if Ryan has started playing it yet.
Nope.
Now, do you think you will?
I don't know. I have no idea at this point, especially after everybody has said that they don't even like it very much.
I'm enjoying
in the office.
But yes.
Okay. That's
yeah.
Fair.
As an Assassin's Creed fan who has beaten that game, I do not think you will get past 5 hours.
I can get you a pizza. I don't. What was I going to say though? I haven't even gotten through Borderlands 2 yet, and I still have XCOM. I still have Dishonored on my plate. I'm really interested in those games.
Yeah. Just drop everything and play Dishonored.
I have a bunch of portable stuff.
So good.
I have Persona Golden sitting on my Vita, like installed, ready to play. I haven't even gotten yet. I know.
Heads up, everybody. The Persona Golden embargo, there was none. So we got it right away. But it's a huge JRPG. I'm reviewing it. I'm not going to review it till way closer to launch. But I know Destructoid already gave it a 10 or whatever. Game's great. I mean, it's totally...
Wow, it got a 10 from Destructoid?
Yeah, I think that's right. Runs really, really... It runs extremely well. Totally pretty. Totally fun to play. It's working out really well for me. So I'm enjoying
myself.
Very, very much JRPG.
Yes.
Very much a Japanese game.
I'm excited that Vita has a lot of games right now. I mean, I haven't... I'm playing Need for Speed a lot. I have Liberation downloaded. I haven't played it yet. I'm excited for Persona.
Yeah. Yeah. Same vein as this.
Yeah.
Here on Podcast Beyond, episode 265, I will officially declare you the winner of the Smallville bet. Where I said I was going to review every episode of the Smallville series. And I made it through 3. and that was about 7 months ago. So you win that one. So there you go. That was a pizza and a six-pack of Blue Moon.
So maybe we'll just neutralize then. In case I don't play 5 hours.
Sure, but, sure.
Yeah.
All right. But you can cash in yours whenever you want.
I feel like we should... No, no, I mean like...
Are we having
pizza
here tomorrow?
I don't have to buy
it. IGN's paying for that out there.
Oh, okay.
And also, you know, let's all just get drinks anyway.
Yeah, we should hang out more anyway.
Yeah.
Jonathan also says, also, I know it's on the Xbox, but are any of you guys going to play Halo 4?
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, my God, yes.
I have it now, so it's out.
See,
I have a copy.
I went out of my way not to get it yet because I still have so much work to do on other stuff, and it's one of those things I don't think this weekend I'd be able to play, but I'm pretty sure next weekend I will.
I'm really torn because I'm nowhere near as into it as Colin or anything, but I traditionally really like to go home and watch all the election results as states are coming in and stuff, but I also kind of want to just be a child and play Halo all night, so I don't know what I'm going to do.
Results will be there in the end.
On the conversational podcast, I'll tell you guys right now, another one of the reasons why my gaming is so behind is pretty much every night that I get, I've been going home and slowly packing up my entire life because I'm moving in with my fiance. So at this point right now, I don't even have access to my consoles anymore. They're all in boxes, and I'm going to move those over tonight, and then my PC will soon follow, and then pretty soon I'll just be living in a room with a bed until I finally finish up the move.
Is this the PC that you put the hard drive into and stuff?
Yeah. Yes. I love that PC. It's so cool. His name is Smilo.
Is it?
Because the name of, like, the case, I don't know if it's the company or the case specifically, just the case, it says Smilodon on the front, and I thought that was the funniest thing. Smilodon Dirktooth. And I was like, what does that mean? So I call him Smilo.
James from South Dakota writes into beyond@IGN.com. Hey, guys. How'd you convince Powerhouse to come out of retirement and review Orgarhythm? I thought he was getting too old for this shit. Can we look forward to more reviews in the future? Yours, James.
Do you want me to explain?
Yeah, you came out of retirement.
Retirement.
And reviewed a Vita game.
I retired from IGN and then came back. No, so in if you guys don't know, for several months ago, I had been at the tail end of a position as the content manager at IGN, which just meant that I was doing a lot of scheduling and stuff. But it wasn't really for me, so I moved back into a writer's position. While I am not on the PlayStation team, I'm on the features team, which means I just do a little bit of everything. I really love reviewing games and previewing games, so whenever anybody needs help, I'd like to pitch in. So that was the first of hopefully many help outs for reviews and previews.
Mm-hmm. Good.
That's why I went to Comic-Con and I did like a little bit over 10 previews out of that or something like that, somewhere in that in that range.
Nice.
Worked with Mike Thompson. We have a I actually don't know if I can tease that. Oh, nuts. Well, we have a cool little preview that Thompson and I worked on coming up Thursday. And early in the morning, so you will see it on the site.
And speaking of team news and features previews, I have a cool preview coming up next week, too. That I think you'll all want to look forward to.
Look at that. Y'all are going to love it.
A lot of shit coming up.
Mm-hmm.
IGN, just keep it locked to IGN.com for all your video game needs.
Sean has the honor of closing out Podcast Beyond episode 255. Reader man.
2,565.
Hey, guys, Beyond.
Beyond.
Do you guys think that there isn't as much idea saving in annual franchise series... Do you think there is much idea saving? He's talking about idea saving. In annual franchise series such as Call of Duty or Madden series, do developers think of ideas but keep them for later installments in the franchise or to keep the series fresh? Or do they add all the new features right away? Thanks and beyond.
I honestly don't even know what he just said.
He's asking if you're developing Madden. Do you sit on ideas? Like, hey, we're going to put physics into it, and we'll put it in next year, this year,
got
blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
And the short answer, Sean, is yes, that happens all the time. Not so much because they're like, oh, this is a great idea, but we don't care about this year. It's more that, like, you have 9 months to turn these games, especially Madden. Call of Duty, obviously, broken up over different studios. They're on a different schedule. But Madden, you know, Tiburon is trying to do that all the time. I've talked to them about it, and, yeah, they're very much, you know, that they start planning the next game before the game they're working on is out. So there's ideas, obviously, they're coming up with there. Or ideas that when they're in the middle of something, like, this is awesome, but we can't make this work this year. There's not enough time to turn it around. It's a great example of it, actually, is the physics engine this year. You know, big deal was made about Madden 13 having the Infinity Engine being able to read and react off of things. That had an extra month of development on it on NCAA, right? And that was pretty much why Madden had the Infinity Engine and NCAA didn't. They started working on it thinking it would actually be in next year's games, and it was one of those things they finished it to the point they were happy with and were able to implement it only in Madden because of that time they had.
It's also why it's not in the Wii U version, because they had a slightly smaller development cycle for that version. But yeah, I'm sure that happens. You know, please go ahead.
I was just going to say, actually, I can speak to this. Mike Thompson wrote a really cool preview about how at Comic-Con he talked to one of the Madden Wii U either producer or developer, and the essence of his preview is that it's a miracle that game even exists, because they had a ridiculously short amount of time to go from conception to execution on Madden, the Wii U version. So you should check that out on IGN.com as well. Some interesting quotes in there.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Podcast Beyond episode 256. We are IGN's only PlayStation podcast. We're also the best. If you want to be part of the show, email us at beyond@IGN.com. Remember, it goes live every Tuesday on IGN.com and the iTunes and probably other podcast things that I don't care about. Remember that IGN.com is what really keeps the lights on, pays the bills, gets the mics going. So go there, read some articles, watch some videos, have a good time. You should follow IGN on Twitter @IGN. You should follow us on Twitter as well. Colin, who isn't normally that gross, is at No Taxation on the Twitters. Ryan Clements is Plum Cider. Andrew Goldfarb is Garfep. And I'm Game Over Greggy.
You can also follow Game Over Greggy and subscribe to him on YouTube for Oreo Oration, best Oreo review show on the internet.
That is probably true as well. But yeah, a lot of YouTube stuff for me over there. It's a bunch of goony work. Ryan?
Yes.
Take me home.
We end every show with a song submitted by one of you, the community members of the Beyond Nation, just like Al White did, friend of the show, who I've been actually trying to figure out if this is the same Al White. I think it is.
It's Al White who directed Spider-Man Eclipse. And
if it's the same Al, then yes, I just had no idea that Al was a musician, if so.
And he also wrote in a really, here's my question for Podcast Beyond. It has been asked 20 times.
He did say it was his 20th email.
And guess what? It was three fucking huge paragraphs that there was no way to boil down to talking points. So there you go. Well, keep making movies, not writing questions.
Well, Al wrote, if you'll notice, it's a very short email, Greg. Can you see from here?
Well, that's, his song submission.
His song submission was great. And, you know, if you'd like to send in a song to be played at the end of the show, just send an MP3 to beyond@ign.com. And tell me why we should play it, and preferably one of you or your group. I will sometimes play if you have a friend who has a band, that's fine too. But Al sent in a song, and let me just read this email. Can't tell you what it would mean to me if you would play this track and say hello to my wife, Fizzy. Fizzy is, by the way, if that's a real name, that's adorable. I'm assuming it's a nickname.
And, hi, Fizzy.
And Fizzy is the cutest name. I wrote this song for her when I asked her to marry me. We've recently had some tough times, and I know it'd make her smile to hear you guys give a verbal hug by playing this on your show. My band's called Ghost Light. The track's called 6 Years Later. You can pick up our album Somersaults on iTunes. Thanks, guys. Love you all. Beyond. And a very special digital hug to Fizzy, who has just an adorable
keep your digital
name.
Hands where I can see.
Does this mean if we listen to this, or is he asking all of us to marry him right now?
I don't think that's how it works.
Okay.
But
this song just starts with, I'm asking you to marry me. By this song, beyond. You're marrying me. Binding legal contract you can't get out of.
So anyway, Al, thank you very much. This is Ghost Light playing 6 Years Later in tribute to Fizzy. Beyond.
Beyond.
Beyond! Da, 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 da. Nope. Not going to play a song at all because it crashes the computer every freaking time I try to add it to the podcast. So I hope you've enjoyed the crackling. This podcast is cursed. Podcast Beyond episode 256. Horribly, horribly cursed. Beyond.
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode, so search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over 1 million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.